Coming up next on this spooky edition of Sports and Stuff, I'll talk all about Halloween coming up this week. I'll also talk about Week 7 in the NFL and discuss the World Series so far between the Dodgers and the Rays. And I'll also talk about a legendary sportscaster who retired this week. All this and plenty more coming up on Sports and Stuff, presented on EPRN and all our media platforms. You're listening to EPRN. I'm John Meisner, host of Sports and Stuff. Listen in to my podcasts and all of the podcasts on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. Download and bookmark the EPRN app. Go to app.eprn.us and you can always tune in at www.eprn.us. I want to welcome you to Sports and Stuff. And for those that are regular listeners of the show, you may have noticed a little different song there in the beginning. That is because we have a brand new theme song here on Sports and Stuff. It's called The Front Page, and it was written by my good friend Jimmy Anderson, who I used to do a podcast talk show with a number of years ago. He's been getting into music lately and composed this theme song for me. You could probably tell it's kind of like a sports newsy kind of melody, with very catchy. So that will be our theme song moving forward. Hope you like it. I know I did, so hopefully you do too. And it's a good little melody. I like it. So with that, we'll get right into the show here and talk some sports like we always do. We'll start by talking some football here. We'll go over Week 7 in the NFL for you. Starting with the Thursday night game between the Eagles and the Giants. The Giants are bad this year. They've only won one game so far this year. They lose to the Eagles 22-21. The Saints beat the Carolina Panthers 27-24. It's an interesting race going on between Drew Brees and Tom Brady over the all-time leader in touchdowns. That's going to go on all season long, so that should be kind of fun to watch. The Bills and the Jets played on Saturday, and the Bills actually won that game 18-10, so they're still currently leading the AFC East. The Cleveland Browns and the Cincinnati Bengals played a high-scoring game and a close game. The Browns scored a last-minute touchdown by Baker Mayfield, and they win that game 37-34. The Browns move up to 5-2. They're second place in the AFC North. The Washington football team crushed the Cowboys. The Cowboys only managed one field goal, 3 points. They lose 25-3 to Washington. The Packers beat the Texans 35-20. It's a big day for Aaron Rodgers and company. The Lions just squeaked by the Atlanta Falcons 23-22. And the Steelers beat the Titans, but only by 3 points. That was a pretty good game. I'll talk about that one in just a second. 27-24 was the final. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat the Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders as they're now called, 45-20. Tom Brady had a big day, and boy, they're looking good, the Buccaneers are. The Chiefs beat the Broncos 43-16. That's a 4, not a 2. 43-16 by 27 points. The Broncos lose after actually winning the last week against New England, so they struggle. And that game was played in a very snowy Denver, which is usually the case at certain times of the year. The Chargers beat the Jaguars. The Los Angeles wins 39-29 by 10 points. The 49ers beat the Patriots 33-6, and it looked very bad in that game. I'll talk about that in a minute. And the Cardinals beat the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle loses for the first time this year in overtime. The Cardinals kicked a game-tying field goal and kicked a game-winning field goal in overtime. In the final seconds, they win 37-34. The Cardinals are now 5-2. Seattle suffers its first loss, like I said, at 5-1. But I want to go back to the Titans and the Steelers game for a minute here. Now, this was a good game because both teams were undefeated coming into this game. They were 5-0. Ben Roethlisberger has been playing outstanding football this year. He is 100% healthy. He looks great. He's throwing a great football. He's got a good group of receivers around him. And they went up big early in this one. They actually went up by as much as 20 points early in the third quarter. And they nearly coughed up that lead. Ryan Tannehill and the Titans, boy, they had been 5-0 coming into this week for a reason. They always find ways to come back, and they almost did again against the Steelers. And it's funny, you know, CBS actually threw up a graphic at one point that's late in the game when it looked like the Titans might come back and win it. Coming into this past weekend, the Steelers had never lost a game in which they had led by 20 points. They had won, I think, just about almost every time except one that ended in a tie. But they had won every game in regulation in which they were up by 20 points at least. And that nearly came to an end on Sunday. The Titans were right with them till the end. Boy, they almost did it, but but not quite. They could not complete the comeback. Steven Gostkowski missed what would have been a game-tying field goal with about 14 seconds left. And the Steelers just hang on to just squeak by 3 points to win that game. They stay undefeated. They're the only undefeated team in the NFL right now. They're 6-0. And I don't know if they're going to go undefeated. They'll go 16-0. But I can definitely see them getting it, you know, at least 12 or 13 wins. It'll probably come down to either them or the Chiefs for the top seed, probably, I think, as the season comes to an end. But there's still a long ways to go before we worry about seeding. After this past Sunday, I come away thinking, why did Tom Brady have to leave New England? I mean, he's doing great down in Tampa. That team is 5-2. Him and Gronk are doing their thing. And it's a nightmare in Foxborough right now. The Patriots have lost 3 in a row for the first time in 18 years. That's right, 18 years. Can you believe that? That shows you the consistency they've had in New England for so long. 18 years since they had a 3-game losing streak. Wow. Shows you the great coaching they've had over the years with Bill Belichick, but I don't know how he's going to get out of this one. Brady's not here to fix the problems, obviously. It's Cam Newton. But there's no excuses at this point. You can't blame COVID. I mean, the fact of the matter is they just don't look good in any aspect of the game. Offense, defense, special teams, they're a mess. There's no continuity on offense. The Patriots seem like every time they have the ball, they go 3-and-out. They can't sustain drives up the field, and it looks like because of that, at least the last couple weeks, the other team has the ball more than they do. This week it was the 49ers. Last week it was the Denver Broncos. Chiefs the week, a couple weeks before that. But every time we have the ball, we just never score enough points. We never put together a good long drive. It's just 1 3-and-out after another. Okay, that's not going to get it done. They only scored 2 field goals against the 49ers. That's pathetic. I give the 49ers credit. I mean, the big story coming to that one was Jimmy Garoppolo returning to New England. You know, and that was something to be talked about leading up to the game, but still, the biggest takeaway I have is the Patriots have so much work to do, and it's not going to be easy. I mean, they got to figure things out fast because they can't keep losing games. They're going to have to, you know, at least get a wild card spot, because it doesn't look likely at this point that they'll catch up to the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are, they're 5-2, and the Patriots are 2-4, so they're behind by quite a bit in the standings. I mean, I hate to say it, but at this point, I mean, the standards have gotten kind of, you know, pretty low that I'd be happy if they go 8-8, because they got a tough schedule coming up. They got the Buffalo Bills, like I mentioned, next weekend in Buffalo, which is a very tough place to play. And although the Patriots have had their number over the years, this is a very good Bills team. This is not like the old Bills team that just kind of sucked and was kind of an easy game for the Patriots. I mean, this is a very formidable opponent now. And they're only getting better. Josh Allen is having an excellent year. He's much improved this year. And they've got a great defense and a good running game. So they're going to be a force to be reckoned with on Sunday. And then they have the Jets the week after that. And then the Baltimore Ravens after that. So the two of the next three opponents are very, very good teams. Two of the better teams in the AFC. And it's not looking good. Cam Newton's thrown quite a few interceptions already this year. He just keeps chucking up the ball, mainly because they have to when you're trailing. You kind of have to, you know, throw the ball more. But it's not good. It's just they're not they don't have any rhythm. There's no continuity. It's bad right now for New England. They're gonna have to figure things out quick, or it's gonna be a long season, and one that I'm not looking forward to the way it's going. But hopefully things change soon. We'll see what happens. I will definitely keep you updated. Yeah, I got more enjoyment out of watching the Steelers and Titans game than I did the Patriots and the 49ers. I mean, that was supposed to be the big game at 4:25 on CBS, and it was just a dud of a game is what it was. Just a crappy game. Ugh. Ugly. Ugly from the get-go with a capital U. But anyway, like I said, Buffalo comes up next week. And the Monday night game also, actually, I should almost forgot to mention that, is between the Chicago Bears and the LA Rams on Monday Night Football. So we'll see how Mitchell Trubisky does in that one. But still, where do the Patriots go from here? Well, for one thing, they have to start from scratch, as anybody does with a three-game losing streak. Just rebuild, start over, you know. And practice. You know, I mean, I know we're in a tough year right now, but I mean, they better work their tails off in practice, and they better do everything better than they have been. And that means, getting on the same page, developing good chemistry with your teammates, and just playing better. Sustained longer drives. You know, do all the little things. Can they overcome this? I don't know. We'll see. I think the three-game losing streak will end. If not against the Bills, then hopefully the losing streak ends against the Jets. I mean, if they can't beat the Jets, that's pathetic. but still, I mean, it won't go on for the rest of the season. But still, it's just... Or at least I hope it doesn't go on the rest of the year. But still, I mean, it's just a bad time. They've hit a rough stretch, and hopefully they can come out of it. But still, a lot of fans are not feeling too good about New England right now. So they're going to have to fight their way out of it. That's all they can do at this point. And Cam Newton has to play better. I mean, it's not helping that he's throwing an interception almost every other game. I mean, you know... make better decisions with the football and don't turn it over. You know, if you don't turn the ball over, you actually have a chance to win. That's really what it comes down to. So they need to play better, and that's just that's the way it is right now. It's the best way to put it. So anyway, now that I got all that off my chest. We'll take a break here on sports and stuff, and when we come back, I'll talk about the World Series thus far. It's been a pretty good one, actually, between the Dodgers and the Rays. I'll give my thoughts on that, and we'll talk more sports entertainment after these messages.
Proud sponsor of Sports and Stuff, Harold's Ice Cream has over 400 original flavors to select from. Best of all, Harold's is kosher certified, no moo or artificial ingredients. Harold's also makes ice cream cakes with real cake centers, and they also ship their frozen treats to customers. Harold's Ice Cream makes treats like frozen yogurt, sherbet, brownies, cookies, pies, and cakes. Harold's does it all to satisfy that sweet, healthy treat craving. They cater events for 70 people or more, and they ship their kosher treats by mail. Call Harold's Ice Cream today at 413-586-9700 and visit Harold's.
Welcome back to Sports and Stuff. John Meisner here with you. You're listening to EPRN and all of our other media platforms out there. I want to thank our sponsors real quick while I have the chance. Harold's Ice Cream, Village Pizza, and Magic City Highlight, who you'll be hearing our recap from a little later on in the show. Our Highlight League. Before we continue on here, it's... It's funny, this is the last show of leading up to Halloween, and just an interesting time of year this year. You know, that's we're not having, obviously a normal year by any standards, but I don't know what you're going to be doing on Halloween, but I'm actually going to be helping out with my local Moose Lodge. We're going to be having a drive-through trick-or-treat locally. Very safe, you know. It's probably the best thing they can do, since walking around in public is not a good idea. So they're going to have a drive-through trick-or-treat, and I'll be helping out with that. Give out the candy, and hopefully all the kids will be happy that way, so they get, their candy. So that's what I'll be doing. I don't know if anybody else is going to be trick-or-treating for real or doing much of anything. So all the more reason just to buy candy just to stuff yourself with as we suffer from the problems in this world. I don't know. That's just how I look at it. I don't know. But anyway, that's what I'll be doing. And just trying to get through the end of the year, I guess. So anyway, let's talk the World Series here. Currently, the Dodgers are up 3-2. They could have easily won the series in 5 games had they not blown it the night before in Game 4. That was a crazy game. I didn't see the whole game. I just saw some highlights and little bits and pieces of it. But it was a wild game. Back and forth. A lot of runs were scored. The final score was 8-7. Rays won that in the ninth inning. It was a crazy ending. They had hit what appeared to be a game-tying base hit in the ninth inning that got away from the center fielder. The second runner scored, and the catcher didn't hang on to the ball as they tried to make a play at home plate. So it was kind of an ugly loss for the Dodgers, but they responded. They responded very well in Game 5. They won that game 4-2, so they're up 3-2 right now. And I gotta say, though, you know, for the most part, the Dodgers have been hitting so many home runs this postseason. I think they said on Fox they're like, I think they have like the what could be a record number of runs for one postseason. I mean, the additional wild card series helped in that aspect, but still, it's been a heck of a postseason for the Dodgers. I think they're due. I think this is the year they're finally gonna win the World Series. With all due respect to Tampa and their pitching, they can't, for the most part, they can't keep up with the Dodgers' offense. I mean, they did in Game 4, but for the most part, I think the Dodgers just have too much talent. I think they're going to win on Monday night. I really do. If not Monday, then definitely Tuesday, for sure. I think it's the Dodgers' year. They haven't won since 88. Since the year Kirk Gibson hit that walk-off home run, that legendary walk-off against Dennis Eckersley. And my cat's next to me, he's being a distraction. I'm trying to focus on talking. Get away, you little pest. Anyway. Where was I? Oh, yeah, the Dodgers. Still, they're outstanding. They got great hitting. You know, Mookie Betts has made such a big difference this year. I mean, ever since he signed a 12-year contract, he has been money. He has been worth every penny. You know, Red Sox fans wonder, you know, how can we have let this guy get away from us? Well, the fact of the matter is Mookie wanted a lot of money, and the Red Sox weren't willing to give him as much as he wanted. So that's really what it came down to, was money. Money, money, money. $400+ million, a 12-year deal. It's just ridiculous. Getting paid that much money to play baseball. Yeah. It's insane. But anyway, the Dodgers are just one win away, and it's been a good series, though. I've been enjoying it. Hopefully you have been, too. I predicted the Dodgers in 6, and one of my friends also predicted Dodgers in 6 as well. We both may be right. It actually may be turned out exactly like that. But if not, then we'll go 7, and we'll see what happens in Game 7. But still, Game 6 is Monday night on Fox. Game 7 would be Tuesday. I'm sorry. Game 6 is Tuesday. They're off on Monday. What am I saying? I apologize. It just hit me. They've been having days off every couple days. They're having it set up like it would be a normal series with travel days. But instead of traveling, they're staying where they are in Texas, so I beg your pardon, I apologize for that. There is an off day Monday, so Game 6 is Tuesday night. Let's try that again. Game 6 is Tuesday. Game 7, if necessary, would be Wednesday. That's what I meant to say, so I'm sorry about that. So on Tuesday night was Game 6, and I think by then, hopefully the Dodgers will have it wrapped up. I'm rooting for L.A. I think the Rays, has as good as their pitching staff is, and they were definitely good enough to get to this point, they just don't have the talent to keep up with the Dodgers. I'm sorry. Justin Turner has been hitting the daylights out of the baseball. Boy, it's like every time he comes up in the first inning, he hits a home run. It's been on fire. You know, him, Jock Peterson, Corey Seager has been good. Also, Mookie Betts, too. Justin Turner and boy, who else has been hitting on that? Seems like everybody hits on the Dodgers. That's all they do is hit home runs and score a bunch of runs and get good pitching. So yeah, oh, and Clayton Kershaw, for once, is actually pitching good in the playoffs. He was not pitching well in past years, and when they got to the World Series, but he is pitching well this year for the Dodgers. He's been proving why he's one of the best aces in the game, finally, in the postseason. So he's finally getting it done. So he's proved to people he can pitch in October for once, and hopefully they'll finally end their drought and win it all on Tuesday or Wednesday night. But yeah, I don't know. I just like top-heavy teams. I mean, I mean, not that the Rays are not good. I mean, they have a very good pitching staff. But I mean, I think people kind of feel sorry for them that they don't have a big enough payroll and that they make the most out of what they have. And you know, we got to give credit to where credit is due. I mean, Kevin Cash has definitely made the most out of what he has. But they don't have the talent to compete with big market teams like the Dodgers. Now, in the American League, it's different because they play in the same division as the Red Sox and Yankees, but they're used to facing them, so they're familiar with them. They were completely unfamiliar with the Dodgers because they hadn't really faced them much at all in the past. Certainly not this year. But yeah, the Dodgers are just at a whole nother level. I mean, if they played a whole season of 162 games, they may have won like at least 100. And same could be said for the Rays with their pitching staff, you know, can the Rays force a game 7? Possibly, but I think this is the Dodgers' biggest chance. If they don't win game 6, I think Tampa might have momentum going into game 7 for sure, but the Dodgers need to wrap it up in 6, and I think they will. If not, then hopefully there should be a heck of a game 7 if it comes to that. But still, I think it's the Dodgers' year. Definitely their year. It's the third time in 4 years they made the World Series, and they didn't get it done the other times, but I think this is going to be it. I really do. Definitely playing like they want it. So, we'll see what happens. Game 6, Tuesday night. You know, I have to say, I haven't been paying super close enough attention to the announcers, but I gotta say, Joe Buck does sound a little more excited this year than he usually does. He still kind of sounds, you know, fairly monotonous, but he does seem a little more into it this year. I don't know why, but he's a little more energetic. He seems a little more up for it. He's not as bored as he usually sounds, but he's a good announcer. It's just in the past he sounds too bland, I think. But not this year. This year he actually sounds like he's into it a little bit more. So, that's what I think about the World Series. Seems like it's getting decent ratings for Fox. So, speaking of sports announcers, we'll take another break here on sports and stuff. And when we come back, I want to talk about a legendary sports announcer that retired earlier this week, and definitely got my attention. I did not see it coming, so I'll give my thoughts on that when we come back here on Sports and Stuff after these words.
MVMT is the affordable brand for men's and women's watches. Go to MVMTwatches.com and browse through the bestseller collection, all of the watches, sunglasses, wristband straps, and watch-related accessories. It's not surprising that MVMT offers free shipping worldwide to their customers. Sign up for the newsletter at MVMTwatches.com, read the MVMT brand story, and get caught up on the brand. Premium design at a fair price.
Welcome back to Sports and Stuff. And as I teased before that last break there, you heard me say that there was a legendary sportscaster that retired earlier this week, and you're probably wondering who it is. Well, I'll tell you. His name is, pretty legendary one. If you guessed Mike Emmerich, you're right. It's Doc Emmerich that retired earlier this week after a 47-year career with hockey, with announcing professional hockey games, whether it be at the AHL level or the NHL level, as he did for so many years. He announced over 3,000 games, did so many Stanley Cup finals and Olympics and games for NBC, and did a lot of games with Eddie Olczyk. He's the best. He's the best hockey announcer, I think, of all time. I think he has to be. Just a legendary voice. Very iconic with his he's definitely got a unique style that I think will probably never be emulated. Just he's had such class and such intelligence and made every game exciting and, you know, always offered a little interesting tidbit about the players or about the game. Very fascinating to listen to, and I love some of his calls he would make, like, my goodness, or drive, and a save. He always said drive a lot, you know. It was, yeah. It would not go into the other side. He had one in front across me, you know. I just love his voice. It's great to imitate, but you know, we get kind of high-pitched and squeaky when he got excited, like, or when it flies and it comes over the net or something like that. he was one of the best. Just love that guy so much. Love Doc Emmerich. Like I said, 47 years. He's 74 years old. Retired, really. I mean, I thought he was going to go on forever, honestly. I thought he was going to announce that he was like 100. His health is in pretty good shape for the most part. Although I did read that he had a cancer scare in the early 90s. But that's been about it. Other than that, he's been pretty healthy for the most part, as far as I can see. But he really started having thoughts of retirement, really, when he started announcing games from home during the pandemic. Interesting to think, had we not had COVID this year, would he still be announcing going into next year? I don't know. We'll never know the answer to that. But still, he's already in the Sportscasters Hall of Fame. One of my friends loves him so much. He looked up to Doc Emmerich, and it was one of the biggest reasons why he got into sports announcing when he was in high school. And I could see why. I mean, he's just got a unique style. He's just he's the best, and you know, in hockey. And will definitely be missed for sure. Yeah, I would always watch the games on NBC a lot of the times, even, you know, when they were on like weekends. And just love listening to him call a game. Really, he's just, yeah. There will never be another one like him. And Eddie Olczyk's gonna miss him. I'm gonna miss him. I don't know who they're gonna have now on NBC. Is it gonna be like, I don't know, who are they gonna replace him with? I'm trying to think who they could. Well, probably one of their other main guys. Probably like John Forslund or. Yeah, probably John Forslund would be there, or maybe Kenny Albert would be another one. Yeah, I could see Kenny Albert doing it. He's got a great voice. And definitely sounds like his dad, Marv Albert. You know, kick saving a beauty. Nah, but I could see him doing it. Maybe one of those two. I'd probably want Kenny Albert. John Forslund sounds a little fake to me. I don't know. He's a little too hammy on the microphone, but. But Kenny Albert's good. I like him. He does a good job. Very solid. So I could see him doing it. But it'd be interesting going forward who NBC's going to go with. But, I mean, no one can replace Doc Emmerich. He's just a legend. But if I were picking, if I had to choose, I would go with Kenny Albert personally. Maybe have him and Eddie Olczyk do it. So anyway, that was a big story that got my attention. And, yeah, can you believe over 3,000 games, man? Whew, 47 years, almost 50 years of announcing. He was a professor earlier in his career. Announced hockey games for a long time. Announced one baseball game, I read, with Bob Costas, and decided that was not for him. And then he switched over to hockey and was probably the best at it ever since. And, you know, it was interesting about Doc Emmerich, too. I was reading about this earlier this week. He never tried to be someone he wasn't, despite him sounding so different. He just tried to be himself. And I think that's the best piece of advice anybody could give anyone who's entering into sports casting, or just, you know, good life lesson. Just be yourself. He never tried to be someone he wasn't, and ended up being the most, certainly one of the most unique and incredible sportscasters of all time. Just a class act. Gonna miss him for sure. Love you, Doc. I think he's writing a book that they're coming out with as well. So you could always Google that or look it up on Amazon. If you can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, I'm sorry. But if you can look it up on Amazon, you'll probably find it. For sure. Yeah, it'd be great if we could get him on the show. I mean, I don't have connections to him, but that'd be something if we could get him on. But anyway, regardless, just know that I do respect him, and he's definitely one of the best for sure. So, with that, you know what we'll do right now? We'll throw it over to our Magic City Highlight recap of the week. That's what we'll do. Here it is, our weekly Magic City Highlight recap of the week. Check it out.
The main rule of Highlight is simple. Players must catch and return the ball in one fluid motion. Sounds easy enough, right? So how do you win? You can win a matchup simply if your opponent overserves, underserves, or serves the ball out of bounds. On the flip side, your opponent wins the matchup if the serve is so good that you fail to catch and return the ball to the front wall. If your opponent fails to catch the ball before it bounces twice on the ground, or if your opponent's cesta makes contact with the ball but doesn't catch it, then, in both of those cases, you win the matchup. You can also win a matchup if the ball bounces around in your opponent's cesta during an attempted catch. This is called juggling, and it's illegal in Highlight. Another way to win a matchup is if your opponent throws the ball and it lands out of bounds on its return from the wall. The overall game strategy for a Highlight player is to make it difficult for an opponent to reach the ball in time or to execute a rebuttal play.
There you have it. That was our Magic City Highlight recap of the week. We'll take a break and be back with more sports and stuff after these messages. Stay there.
Hi, I'm John Meisner, host of Sports and Stuff on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. Tune into Sports and Stuff weekly on EPRN. On the weekends, relax and catch a matinee Highlight match on Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, or Sundays at noon. Highlight is entertaining, fast-paced, and has a deep cultural heritage that we're proud to bring to Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. Magic City Highlight, only on EPRN.
Okay, we are back here on Sports and Stuff. John Meisner here with you. Already talked about quite a bit so far. And hope everybody's staying safe out there. I know it's a crazy time for everybody. So wear a mask, stay safe, you know, stay inside. Don't go out unless you have to. I think we all know that by now. But anyway, in my own personal life, for those that may or may not have seen on Facebook, let me post the picture. I'm happy to announce that ever since I was last with you, I became an uncle, which I'm very excited about. My brother and his wife had a baby earlier this week, born Tuesday, October 20th, 2020, at 3:18 in the morning, born at 6 pounds, 12 ounces, and his name is Jackson. Jackson Gerald Meisner. He's a beautiful baby boy. We love him already. He's a cute little thing, too. He's so adorable. He's just a little thing, but we love him a lot, and we're very excited about it, and I'm excited to become an uncle. So thanks to everybody that wished me well on Facebook, and personally, I really appreciated it. Very nice, very kind of everyone. So I'm excited about it. And we have a baby in the family, and yeah, it's fun. I don't have to worry about actually trying to take care of the kid. If it starts crying or spits up or has a dirty diaper, I can just give it back to my brother. So I don't have to worry about it. I'm the fun uncle. I don't have to worry about all the stuff you don't like to do. So that's great. I appreciated it. All the nice things from everybody on Facebook, for those that know me. So anyway, I think, it's funny. We're kind of getting close to a pretty dead time in sports. You know, after this week when the World Series ends, it's just going to be football and a whole lot of nothing, really. So we're going to try and do the best we can to get some guests for you in future weeks. So giving other people a chance to share the spotlight, give them some airtime. And I want to take this time to mention that if you or someone you know is interested in talking about sports, or you want your business or advertised, or I should say your business or your workplace, advertised on our network, feel free to reach out to us. We're on the internet. It's EPRN, Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. You just look us up. We've got an app. And if you have a question or comment based on anything you've heard on the show, anything you want to add to it, or if any way you want to interact with me, you can email me at redsoxwatcher0627@gmail.com. Again, that's redsoxwatcher0627@gmail.com. So that's the best way to reach me. You can also interact with me on our Sports and Stuff community group page. I'm always trying to interact with the fans and keep you guys posted. So we have that, and yeah, hopefully the month of November we'll be able to get a full slate of guests on for you. There are one or two I have in mind. I won't say them right now, but I've been talking to them lately. I'm going to try to get them on soon, so hopefully by next week we'll have something planned and lined up for you, which should be good. And like I said, hope you enjoyed that theme song in the beginning of the show. We're going to close it out just a little bit with that same theme song, so hopefully you like what you hear. That's going to do it for us here on Sports and Stuff this week. Hope everybody enjoyed it. Want to thank you for listening. Be sure to stay tuned for more Sports and Stuff every week here on EPRN and all our other media platforms. And like I said earlier, you could always interact with me either on Facebook, our community group page, or by email. Again, one more time, redsoxwatcher0627@gmail.com is the best way to reach me. And with that, we're going to call the show here, and you'll be hearing at the beginning and end of our show every week our new theme song, The Front Page, here on Sports and Stuff. So hopefully you like what you hear. Again, thanks to Jimmy Anderson, who composed that music for us. Very appreciative of his musical efforts. It sound great. So for everybody involved with this one at EPRN, this is John Meisner signing off of Sports and Stuff. You've been listening to the show on EPRN and all our media platforms. Have a great Halloween, everybody. Have a safe and happy Halloween. Stay safe. Eat some candy. Don't go out unless you have to. Everybody's kind of wearing a mask anyway, so it's kind of a Halloween costume in and of itself. But have a great one, everybody. And when next we meet, hopefully we'll have a guest on for you, and we'll be probably getting pretty close to the election results as well. So get out there and vote in case you haven't already. And join us next week. Take care, everyone. So long.